Good morning. It's lovely to welcome you all to Robarton this morning, and please come for coffee afterwards if you're visiting. There are a couple of notices. The first one is that the five events which were raising funds for Mission have raised in total £580. Thank you for those who hosted them and those people who attended. And the second thing is that we have received invitations about the celebration for street pastors, which is being held on Wednesday, the 4th of September, at Bridgewater Baptist Church. And there is also a new training course for people who might be interested in becoming street pastors, and that starts, if I put the glasses on, I might be able to see, on the 11th of September, going through to the 4th of December. There will be information leaflets after the service if you're interested in either of those things out on the Connect Room table. Merlin, it's wonderful to be able to welcome you to our pulpit today, and we look forward to what you are going to say to us. And now we'll have a moment of quiet before we begin our service.
Some words from Deuteronomy for our call to worship. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. And so we have our first hymn now, I Sing Your Mighty Power of God, Singing the Faith 107, but also on the screen.
Oh, now that I'm mic'd up, you can probably hear me better, for better or for worse, of course. So let us now join together in prayer. Let us pray. So, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we've come this morning with praise on our lips and praise in our hearts that indeed your wonders are displayed where'er we turn our eyes. When we look at our wonderful world bathed in sunshine and we witness all the different colours on display with varying degrees of light and of shade, let alone the immense variety of flora and fauna and the hugely varying landscapes, we cannot help but praise you, the Creator. And Lord, our praise knows no bounds when we start taking in the vastness of space that is way beyond our comprehension. Yet recently, so much in the news as 50 years were marked since man first walked on the moon. So we praise you, Lord, and we thank you that we have been given the privilege to live in this world of being part of your creation. We thank you too that in addition to all this, that every single one of us matters to you, and that you sent us Jesus to inspire us, to guide us, and to redeem us. And Lord, we need a lot of redeeming. Every day we make choices in terms of what to do and what to say and how we should be. So often we choose the wrong options, the ones that put ourselves first at a cost to others. And so we ask that you will forgive us for time and again falling short of how you want us to be. We ask your forgiveness now. Jesus came into this world to forgive sinners, so we thank you, God, that you are a merciful Father and that we have the assurance that indeed our sins are indeed forgiven. We sum up all our prayers now, Lord, by saying together the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Farmer Giles was delighted with his new hired farmhand, John. He had never witnessed before such a wonderful worker. He set John the task of painting his barn. Well, that'll take him 4 days, thought the farmer. John completed it in one. On another occasion, he set him chopping up a huge pile of wood. That will take him 3 days, thought the farmer. Took John one. And so this went on and on, and one day the farmer came up to him and he said, John, he said, you work so hard and I do thank you so much for it. I'm going to give you an easier afternoon. Look, here's a stool. Sit down in this barn and there's a pile of potatoes here. I want you, please, to divide them up, to split them up into three groups. The good uns, the doubtful uns, and the rotten uns. Okay, now I'll bring you a cup of tea as well, and I'll get that straight away, and you just take it easy and do that this afternoon, and I'll come back later to see how it's gone. Which indeed the farmer did, expecting John to have finished everything, but to his horror, he went into the barn, he saw John lying flat down on the ground, white as a sheet. He said, whatever is wrong, John? Are you ill or something? Oh, no, he said, I'm not ill, farmer, I'm not ill at all. He said, I may be a hard worker, but one thing I can't do is make decisions. And decisions is something we always have to do in a world where we've got so much choice. Choice almost every moment of the day. So we're now going to sing another hymn about a decision hopefully all of us have made. It's Mission Praise, I think, 272. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Yes. Going to have our readings, which Richard and Janice are going to read to us. The first one is from the book of Jeremiah, which actually is one of the set readings for today. And I just wanted to say something of the background of it before that reading takes place. All through his career, Jeremiah struggled with court prophets who chose to say what they thought the king wanted to hear. But Jeremiah was different. He chose to speak God's word, and so this brought them into conflict. And the reading that you're going to hear now is set against that background. Thank you, Janet.
Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say, who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets, who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?
Thank you, Janet. And so we come to the New Testament reading, the set gospel reading for today from St. Luke's Gospel. In the first part of the reading, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Then he turns his attention to the crowds. Thank you, Richard.
I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family to get divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Amen.
Thank you very much, Richard and Janet. So we sing again now, please, from Singing the Faith, 508. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver.
Thank you.
So two friends had gone to watch a cricket match. One of them was deep into it and very interested. The other didn't seem to be showing any interest in whatsoever. And so the first one turned to his friend and said, "Well, aren't you interested? Didn't you want to come?" "Well, no, not really," said the second. "But I didn't have a choice." I didn't have a choice. And you will have noticed that what I've titled this sermon is, "It's Your Choice." How we value having a say in the matter. How we value the right to have a choice. I mean, there is a silly story about two greedy men who went into a pretty low-class type restaurant to order a meal. Well, they both had fish and chips and they were both sitting at the same table. And when the waitress came with the fish and chips, she just dumped them on the table. The trouble was, one was a large helping, the other was a small helping. And so the two greedy men just stayed there looking at it, neither making a move. And there's the fish and chips getting colder and colder. Until at last, one ran out of patience and he took the largest helping and he started to eat it. And so the second turned on him and he said, "Well, I do think that was selfish of you, taking the largest portion like that." So the one who'd already started eating the large portion said with his mouth full of chips, "Why? What would you have done?" He said, "Well, I would have taken the smallest portion." "Well, what's your problem then?" said the first. "That's what you've got." Choice can certainly be divisive. Because choice implies that there is nearly always alternatives. And so often that there are advantages and disadvantages whichever way you look at it. I mean, just look at the pantomime at the moment that surrounds Brexit. Maybe not. You've probably heard about enough about that. The prophet Jeremiah was acutely aware of how divisive choice could be. All through his career, as I said just now, he struggled with court prophets who chose to say what they thought the king wanted to hear. When Jeremiah chose something different, he chose to try and speak God's word. And so this brought them into conflict. Herein lies the challenge. Choice, by its very nature, can be divisive. Because there are always other options available. If there weren't, there wouldn't be a choice. Even church meetings are not immune from this. So as individuals, as a church community, what sort of path should we be treading when such situations arise? How do we respond with situations that fly in the face of what we think or what we believe? Do we try to keep in focus the ideal so succinctly put in the hymn, "He bids us build each other up"? Or are we then much more preoccupied with knocking each other down and trying to score points? Jeremiah used the passage we read just now to emphasize the most important choice we have to make: whether to pursue self-interest or to follow God. And one of the images he uses to highlight the situation is that of fire. "Is not my word like fire?" declares the Lord. Part of the inference here being that fire is very powerful and it will ultimately destroy obstructions in its path. Just over 2 weeks ago, Margaret and I were visiting my brothers up on the family farm. We hadn't been there all that long when suddenly we heard going along the A38 a fire engine with its blue lights flashing, and not so far away, black acrid smoke rising from a neighbouring field of a neighbouring farmer. And before many minutes, the blue light was then right there. We learned that the combine harvester had just moved out, job done. And in had moved an enormous tractor, new tractor and baler to bale up what the combine harvester had left. I don't know what happened, but there was some fault somewhere, maybe a fuel leak in the tractor, but suddenly they went up. The field of produce was unaffected to a large extent, but the tractor and the baler were totally destroyed. And I was told that that amounted to nearly £500,000. Up in smoke, in minutes, really in minutes. Such is the destructive power of fire. I must confess that the gospel reading we had this morning would not have been one that I would readily go to. I don't find it a particularly comfortable reading, and I'm pretty certain many of us wouldn't find what you heard read particularly comfortable. Because this is not the Jesus we love to hear about, you know, the one that's voiced in the hymn, "Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild." It's not that Jesus, is it? This is a Jesus suffering the very human emotion of stress as he considers the very nature of people. I personally do not believe that in that reading what he is saying is, "I have come to deliberately be divisive." I don't believe he is saying that at all. I believe he is being a realist, and he is summing up the situation as it is. He knows what he is saying, what the life he is living is divisive. He knows that, and that's it's that statement of fact that he is highlighting. It is the inevitable consequences of the way of life that he teaches, lives out, and wants us all to live out in God's name. And there will be divisions because of people's propensity for making wrong choices, for choosing the wrong options in ways of living, and then compounding the problem by making further wrong choices in their reactions to others who choose otherwise. He considers all this and he shows his anguish because he knows where it all will inevitably lead. How did the disciples react to that anguish? We don't actually know. Did they support him? We don't really know. It's not said. How do we react when we see everything going pear-shaped before our eyes? Mental anguish, alas, is something that all of us from time to time have to face. How well do we support people going through times of anguish? How do we cope with it ourselves? We all know that behind what Jesus was saying, that there is a truth. That everything on this earth virtually has a choice in the way that it can be used. And it's up to us to choose. It can be used for good ends or it can be used for bad ends. I just put a few things down. The first thing I thought about was a mobile phone. What good ends, what good use that can be put to. But what bad use it can be put to as well, can't it? Drones. How they can be used to get medicines and whatever to inaccessible places. But how they can also be used to bring an airport to a standstill or to fly drugs into a prison. The internet, what a wonderful way of connecting people together. But then there's the pornography that goes there as well, being used to bad ends. Atomic power helps to light our light our houses. But remember Hiroshima. Drugs, lifesavers, life killers as well for those hooked on them. Even motorways, let alone cars being used as weapons, but motorways. Did you know that since motorways came into existence, the incidences of cattle rustling and sheep rustling has risen? Because those with ill intent have seen their chance. They rush down the motorway, rustle the livestock that they're after, get them into the cattle wagon and disappear up the motorway as fast as ever they can and into oblivion. Things can be used to bad ends or to good ends. It is our choice. So now we come to that other side of the imagery that Jeremiah used. Just like things or everything else I've mentioned can be used to bad ends or to good ends as well as bad ends, so can fire. Fire can destroy, yes, but fire can also purify. It can be a purifying agent. It can purify metal. That is why we had that last hymn, all about that. And that is certainly taken up by that idea of purifying fire is taken up by the prophet Malachi when he says, talking about the Lord's messenger, he will be like strong soap, like a fire that refines metal. He will come to judge like one who refines and purifies silver. I would think that Jesus also had that positive effect of fire well in mind, because he goes on to use a second image in that sort of way to emphasize what he is trying to get over to his disciples. And the second image that is used is that of water. We all know the destructive power of water. The people of Whaley Bridge certainly know all about that when that dam was threatening to burst. Just over a month ago, I was swimming in the sea just off the Isle of Wight, and it was a rough sea. Three times I got knocked off my feet by waves. I thought, that was enough, now I better get out. Such is the power of water. Yet this same substance, water, is a life saver, a life giver. None of us can live without it. It also has the power to wash away dirt, which is why it is such a central element in the act of baptism. This, Jesus says, is what is on offer. through him from his heavenly Father. The chance for our lives to be transformed, to be purified as fire purifies metal, the chance for all our wrongdoings to be washed away as water washes away dirt, and it's our choice. Probably the most fundamental choice we make in our lives. But there is a cost, because the more fundamental the choice, the more divisive the potential. Look at racism. Look at religious intolerance all down through the ages. But look too at the personal consequences of wrong choices. I came across this quote as I was preparing for this service, and it said anonymous, so I don't know who wrote it, but here's the quote. You are free to choose, but the choice you make today will determine what you will have, be, and do in the tomorrows of your life. One of the better known paintings of Leonardo da Vinci was The Last Supper, which he painted on the wall of the convent of Santa Maria del Grazie. There is a story that Leonardo actually painted another picture of The Last Supper as well, which got lost. And in that one, in order to make the characters appear as lifelike as possible, Leonardo asked various people to sit for him as models. When he came across a person who was strong and forceful, he asked him to sit as a model for Peter. When he came across another person who was gentle and determined, he asked him to sit as a model for John. And so it went on until there were just two models left that he needed. One was Jesus Christ, and the other was Judas Iscariot. One evening at a party, Leonardo met a young nobleman who had the very face that Leonardo was looking for to depict Jesus. Leonardo asked him if he would come and sit for him. He explained that he was looking for a particular kind of face that was Christ-like. And the young nobleman very graciously agreed to come and sit for him. Now he was left to find the last face, the face of Judas Iscariot. Leonardo knew what he wanted. He wanted a face that looked blatantly evil, twisted and cunning. But search as he would, he could not find the right face. 20 years passed, and the painting remained unfinished. Then, early one morning, Leonardo happened to be walking through a terrible slum area in Florence when he stumbled over a drunk lying in a gutter. The drunk turned towards Leonardo and cursed him. Leonardo was on the point of walking on when he stopped, turned and looked at him again, and he thought, ah, just the face I wanted. After all these years, my patience has been rewarded. And so Leonardo bowed to the wretch that was lying before him, offered him a golden coin and said, if you would like any more of these, come to my studio this afternoon, will you? Anyone will tell you where it is if you say my name. Leonardo da Vinci. And duly that afternoon, the drunk arrived. Leonardo explained why he'd been asked to the studio. "I would like you," he said, "to sit as a model for Judas Iscariot. Your face exactly matches the picture I have of Judas in my mind." The man got seated to Leonardo's satisfaction. Leonardo began to paint. And after a while, he became conscious that the man was silently sobbing. Leonardo put down his brushes and said, "What troubles you? Your face exactly matches the picture I have in mind, and surely you ought to be happy at the thought of earning some gold so easily." The man looked up, and Leonardo could not help but think that this face was the ugliest and most evil he had ever seen. "Don't you recognize me?" sobbed the man. "I was the person who sat for you as Jesus Christ 20 years ago." I think I need say no more, but I'm going to finish now with what I started the service with, that quotation from Deuteronomy. "Today I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him." Amen. And so we sing our hymn 250 from Singing the Faith, "Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild restless sea. Day by day, his voice is sounding, saying, Christian, follow me."
Thank you.
So if the stewards would take up the offertory now, please. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, we ask that you will accept these, our gifts, and bless them. They come as tokens of our love and our gratitude to you for all that you give us in life. And as you bless them, we ask that you will bless us too, that you will use us in the service of your kingdom, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us come to the Lord now with our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. We bring to you now, Lord, our prayers for the world and for others. There seems so much tension and stress and strife wherever we look. So much caused by bad choices and intolerance of other people's choices. We pray for the leaders of the nations and those who have real influence on how things should be, particularly thinking of those in the world's trouble spots and areas of tension. And also over the continuing saga of Brexit. Give to them all, we pray, clarity of thinking and a genuine compassion and concern for all, that this should underpin every decision that is made, rather than trying to score political points. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus experienced a high level of stress as he foresaw the division caused even in families as people chose to follow him, with others displaying intolerance at their decisions. Alas, Lord, this continues to this day with much religious intolerance displayed around the globe and many people languishing in prison or whose lives have been severely impacted and uprooted because of their faith. We pray for people everywhere whose lives have been so severely restricted, uprooted, and now refugees because of their faith, because of their race, because they happen to be on the wrong side. Give us all, we pray, hearts of compassion and tolerance, that nobody anywhere need suffer at the hands of their fellow human beings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a world where greed and selfishness so affect our choices and still lead people to exploit and commit crimes against their fellow human beings in many different ways. We think of and pray for the family of the young policeman in Berkshire murdered a couple of days ago, of vulnerable young people being used to traffic drugs across county lines, of the problems of modern day slavery, human trafficking, and the vulnerable being preyed upon by con artists. In your eyes, Lord, we are all equal. Help us all, we pray, to respect one another and never to do anything that belittles our fellow human beings or causes them to suffer unnecessarily. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring to you now, Lord, people nearer to home and people we know who need our prayers, people who are dear to us, silently lifting them to you by name. The concern might be age, illness, bereavement, worry of over expecting exam results, worry or stress over what the coming week might bring. Hospital appointments, uprooting and moving house, whatever the concern might be, Lord, we pray that your loving arms will surround them, that they will be conscious of your presence and given the strength, fortitude, and peace to face the days ahead. We pray for ourselves, Lord. You know us better than we know ourselves. We simply ask now that you will help us to be better ambassadors for you in the choices that we make in our day-to-day living. And so we bring to you our own private prayers, the prayers that perhaps nobody else can pray for us, and we pray together in silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers, for they are all asked in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. And so we come to our last hymn, singing the Faith 662. Have you heard God's voice? Has your heart been stirred? Let us go from this place to witness faithfully, standing our ground and with eyes fixed securely on the Lord. And we'll encourage each other and bless each other as we say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.